listening?
Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Yo, my G. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Guys, gals, and non-pals, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, music podcast, two friends born from trying to get each other to listen to records and both kind of wanted to do our own thing and saying, yeah, I'll do that. I'll take care of that, man. Neither of us ever really did it. So we created the show and we've been giving records back and forth up to now. It's on ending. Yeah. I don't know why I said it that way. This isn't the last episode.
Well,
let's see how it goes before we see if it is the last episode or not, I guess. But I am Brand, your co-host. I'm here with my friend, my co-host, Scott. Scott, greetings.
Hi. How's it going?
It's good. We'll see if it's good depending on how this episode goes. I brought you a record this week.
Yeah, you did.
Kind of a long time coming. It's kind of the yin to the yang of the Cannibal Corpse that we already covered.
Right.
We'll probably get into that when we get into the record itself, but I guess I'll just dive into these notes, Scott, and fill in what you feel necessary.
I need to know what's going on with this band because I know very, very little.
Well, I guess I should. I mean, it says it in the title, but I gave you Warpath by Six Feet Under. This is a mess at the beginning here. I don't know what's going on.
It's all right. We're loosey goosey with it today.
It is loosey. We're off the cuff.
Yeah.
Six Feet Under is an American death metal band from Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
You know how Florida loves death metal.
Do they? I didn't see that coming at all.
Florida's big death metal. Isn't that where death's from? Isn't death from?
I kind of thought so, but I thought that was kind of singular. I didn't know that they had a whole.
Yeah, I think a lot of death metal came from Florida. I believe.
Oh.
I know there's at least a scene there that was dominant, I think. But
gotcha. Yeah, I think Death the band was from there, but I thought they were kind of outliers in the music scene. I was unaware of the widespread popularity of death metal in Florida.
Six Feet Under was formed in 1993 when Chris Barnes joined forces with Obituary guitarist Alan West, and they recruited Terry Butler, whom West knew from his involvement with the band Massacre.
Okay.
Nope.
I don't know Massacre.
And then they also recruited Greg Gall, who was Terry Butler's brother-in-law.
Oh, well, weird.
So Chris Barnes and Obituary guitarist Alan West. And I know you haven't listened to Obituary, have you?
I don't. Maybe a track here or there.
Okay.
Really racking my brain for that one, but I don't think I've ever listened to a full project.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, Obituary, big death metal band at the time. Kind of still doing it, still out there doing their shit. So
good for them.
The band began writing original material in 94. And because Barnes was already signed to Metal Blade with Cannibal Corpse, Metal Blade just said, all right, we'll sign Six Feet Under. And then it became an official side project.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man, Metal Blade was just like, yeah, we need more talent. We need more bands. Yeah.
Bring whatever you got.
Go ahead.
Whatever you got.
Start a new one. Bring it to us. We're for it.
Their first album, Haunted, was released September 1st, 1995, was produced by Brian Slagle. Does that name ring a bell to you?
No.
Well, he's the head of Metal Blade, but he also founded Slayer. He discovered Slayer.
Oh, okay.
And Scott Burns, who discovered Sepultura and worked with Napalm Death, Deicide, many others. So, like,
big name.
For your first record, I mean, Chris Barnes already had a record out with Cannibal Corpse, maybe two.
That's what I was just going to ask. How long did he last in Cannibal Corpse?
My next note involves that, but I don't know how many exact records it is. I know
he
let me just move on to the note here.
Yep, go ahead.
By this point, Chris Barnes had already made Six Feet Under his main priority, and in the process of recording Cannibal Corpse's album Vile in 95, he was dismissed from the band and replaced by Corpse Grinder.
Okay. Do you know the reason he was dismissed from Cannibal Corpse?
Not technically, but
okay.
The reason's probably out there somewhere, but I assume because even currently Chris Barnes is a bit of an asshole.
Is he?
Kind of has always been this, like, I'm the savior of death metal, and
gotcha.
Yeah, and like anything death metal runs through him.
Oh, he's the gatekeeper of death metal. Gatekeeper. There's only one.
And I mean, like, that early Cannibal Corpse, he had, like, you know what I mean? Like, he can claim some of it, I guess. Like, you can, like, claim some of it, but even through interviews and shit, he's kind of just always been a dickhead. So it's kind of maybe that's why.
Gotcha. I was going to say, aside from, like, personal, like, relationships, I don't see how anybody's getting kicked out of Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, but then you, like, anything I've ever seen on Corpse Grinder was just, like, excellent human being. Like, it's really weird. Like, any interview, I mean, he's winning claw game stuffed animals for strangers and Target, like, lobbies and shit. That's just, like, really weird shit with Corpse Grinder. But Chris Barnes, you kind of never get that.
He's the Post Malone of death metal.
Sure. If that is the comparison you want to put there, let's say that. Corpse Grinder is the Post Malone of death metal. Let's put it on a t-shirt.
I fucking love it. I love it.
So Warpath is the second studio album by 6 Feet Under.
Okay, gotcha.
Was released September 9th, 1997. So you actually knew it came out in 97 because I gave you the option of 2 years.
I was going to say, you gave me the option. So I knew what year it was coming out.
And actually, as much as I love that 03 record, I think was the other one.
Mm-hmm, that was the other one.
I think this was the right choice for you. Even if you end up hating this, I think this is the right choice. And I'll get to that in cleanup, but this is the last record with Alan West. He ended up going back to Obituary after this.
Oh, okay.
And maybe while we talk about the record, we'll get into why he's important to this band. And we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
But other records release September 97.
Here we go.
September 2nd, Master P put out Ghetto D.
Master P was big in the 90s.
I think this is a weird, like, there's definitely some big hip hop records from the late 90s that I got into, but I don't think that there's, I definitely wasn't listening to everything from him.
Right.
From then. And then when I went back, I probably went back farther or not this far. It's a weird in between for hip hop for me.
Sure. Well, No Limit was putting out records like every week. They were the Griselda of the 90s.
So yeah. The Shocker was doing it. Was Mystical on No Limit?
Mm-hmm. I think at first. Yeah.
And then he ended up being a horrible human.
Make him say, na 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 na.
Yeah, Master P really was the blueprint for that flashy stuff in hip-hop that you see everywhere.
Solid gold tank rolling through a basketball court.
I remember his cribs with the tank on everything, like on his pillows. On his refrigerator. Like, it was all branded No Limit.
Every No Limit soldier had a tank medallion.
Yeah. Just like, and then every Rocka,
they had
it's not Rockaware. What the fuck's the name of his record label?
No, Rockefeller.
Every Rockefeller had the Rock label, like the Rock chain. Like, you got a Rock chain.
Yeah.
Who was it that, maybe they got signed or they wanted to get signed and they said, they said, I want your chain, Jay. I don't want a chain.
I remember that story. Chain. I forget who it was, though.
And I don't remember the ending of it. I don't remember if
I gave don't it remember me. The result. I can't imagine.
But imagine if it was somebody like, I'm trying to, like, Lil Wayne in 08. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but the fact that we can't pull it.
You're right. Yeah. Also released September 3rd, 97, Puddle of Mud put out Abrasive.
Really?
A 97 Puddle of Mud record.
Was that there first, I wonder?
I don't know, but it has me a little interested. I'm going to be honest.
What
could that sound like?
Report back on that one.
But, like, what could that sound like? Because that whole, like, for lack of a better term, dad rock sound wasn't existent yet.
I imagine some really bad post-grunge kind of shit.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because he actually has a grungy voice also.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I'll hate that, won't I? Yeah, I'm not.
You would despise it.
Coming out on September 9th, we have Incubus put out Science.
I went back and listened to Science because I didn't listen to them until Make Yourself, which was the next one. I think I liked Science. I don't think I liked their first one as much. Fungus Among Us, I think that was their first one. I think I liked Science where they were getting more Incubus sounding.
Away from the funk?
Yeah, a little bit away from the funk.
Yeah. I don't think that's why I don't like early Incubus. It's too much funk. It just doesn't work for me. There's some clash in there that I'm like, I don't like these sounds together. Coming out September 9th, a band that I've seen the name a lot, and I know friends listen to them, and I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I thought you maybe know who these people. I don't even know what gender these band is. Jack Off Jill put out Sexless Demons and Scars.
Nope, no idea.
You've never even heard of Jack Off Jill.
I have heard of the name, but I don't know them at all.
An American alternative rock band from Florida.
Hey.
Founded in 92 by vocalist Jessica, drummer Tenny Achacha, bassist keyboardist Agent Mulder. That's funny. And guitarist Michelle Inhell. So it seems like an all-female alt-rock band.
It does seem that way.
Maybe I check out a Jack Off Jill record this week.
There you go. I look forward to it being your record of the week next week.
Their second show was opening for Marilyn Manson.
Oh, wow. Their second show? That's nuts.
They have two records. One in 97, this one, Sexless Demons and Scars. And then in 2000, Clear Hearts, Gray Flowers.
Okay.
Weird. Somebody I know was a big Jack Off Jill fan, and I don't know who it could have been now. No clue. All right, well, let's move on to September 9th, and we have a solo project here, Scott.
Okay.
From Rick Ocasek, Troubleizing.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I didn't know Rick Ocasek ever did anything solo.
I was unaware myself, so...
I don't really care enough to listen to it, but it's interesting it happened.
Me neither.
Coming out September 16th, we have Mariah Carey's Butterfly.
Oh, yeah, that was big.
Also September 16th, Busta Rhymes, When Disaster Strikes.
I've never listened to a full Busta Rhymes project. So
it's his second record. I'm a big fan of that record. I like that record a lot.
All right. That's good.
I don't know. Busta's maybe a conversation for a different time at a longer pace off show. Because we're going to have to really figure out how to talk about Busta. Because it'd be like if we did, and it's a little farther down this scale, but it's like if we did that Twista record. Like, there's just so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do.
It was a great record, but man, that would take a lot of diving into and discussions in between discussions.
It'd either be too much, or you'd have to just skim it, and then, like, what's the point?
Yeah, there's no point if you're just going to skim it.
Yeah. It's a weird thing to think about. Coming out September 16th also, so Mariah Carey, Busta Rhymes, and Usher all put a record out, and this one's My Way.
Wow, okay. I've only ever listened to Confessions by Usher and the newest one he put out this year.
I can't even remember what the new one's called.
Come Home? Coming Home?
Yeah, that's it. I just think of him holding the peach on the cover. I'm like, oh, we all know what you're doing, Usher. Settle down. Coming out September 23rd, we have Bjork with Homogenic.
I don't think that's one I listened to. I can't remember the one I listened to, but...
One of these days, we're going to find the one you listen to. It'll pop up
somewhere. I know. Maybe it'll show up on a charts, but I don't know.
Next one, we got Friends of the Show artist here. September 23rd.
Oh, yay.
Chumbawamba.
Hey, okay.
Put out Tub Thumper.
Oh, the big one for them.
The one nobody would know. Nobody would know who Chumbawamba is.
Without Tub Thumper.
Mm-hmm.
And man, what a change of view I got when we went over Anarchy.
It makes me want to kind of listen to Tub Thumper again.
Really?
Like,
it made me not want to listen to Tub Thumper ever again.
Yeah, but I mean, have you listened to the whole record or just the single?
I would have just listened to the single. I've never listened to Chumbawamba.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what else is on that record? What else is going on?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, also September 23rd, also Friends of the Show, Goldfinger.
Hey.
Put out Hang Ups.
Okay. I like that one. I like that one a lot. I think that's their second record.
I tried to find what you were listening to in 97.
Okay. We got a little something out. Right here. Yeah.
A little peek. Next 97 one also. 97
is a weird time for. 97 music. Was a weird time for me. For me too. Music. I was, 15, kind of getting more into punk at that time, kind of straddling that line between what I can like on the radio and what I find on my own.
And what you can like in public versus what you can like
alone. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Also, September 23rd, we have the self-titled record from the Bouncing Souls.
Yes. Great record. That might be my favorite of theirs. I think that is my favorite of theirs. Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking fantastic record.
September 29th, this one was a long shot. The name sounds 90s to me. I know one song by these guys. And okay. I might even be thinking of a different band now that I'm saying this out loud.
Oh, fantastic.
The Verve.
Okay.
Put out Urban Hymns.
I don't know if that had.
Am I thinking of
The Freshman? The Freshman was their big song.
Is there also a band called Verve Pipe?
That just me? Yep.
And then Weezer has Hash Pipe.
Hash Pipe, yep.
Yeah, all those three together just is a wild mix to me, and I get lost.
Now I'm wondering if I got the song wrong. I did Verve Pipe was the one that did The Freshman. The Verve did Bittersweet Symphony, I think.
Okay.
The Verve did Bittersweet Symphony, which would have been on this 97 record. They were British and kind of I know the melody of this.
Sounds great.
Their string. It's a string like orchestra that starts off the track.
Okay. I guarantee you that both The Freshman and Bittersweet Symphony were on Buzz Ballads. That's probably why I get those. Oh, okay.
Well, it also doesn't help that Verve is in their band name. I mean.
Yeah. Because that's a word we use all the time.
Nobody ever uses that word. But yeah, I think I liked Verve Pipe better than The Verve.
Okay. And then my final release I have here for September 97. September 30th, the Get Up Kids put out 4 Minute Mile.
Yeah, their first record.
So not only do we have a band that you like, it also involves running, Scott. So, I mean, this is all.
I would never, I'd never be able to run a 4 Minute Mile. Not ever.
But it's not like you're in the minority there, Scott. I mean,
I know. It's just disappointing.
What do you think the percentage is? 90% of runners can't hit a 4 minute mile? 95% of runners?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like 4 minute mile is just so crazy. Like you're flying.
You're sprinting. Flying. You're sprinting for a mile.
Like my miles, I think I've barely gotten under 7 minutes.
Yeah, but don't say that like that is something crazy. That's a fast mile.
I mean, it's not slow, but like I would like to get closer to 4 minutes, but I also run a lot further than 1 mile. So I don't have a burst of energy just for 1 mile.
It sounds to me like after this marathon, somebody needs to start working on their mile time.
Oh, man.
You need to start sprinting at the track and just see how fast you can hit it.
Do what I can do. Oh, God. I might. We'll see. But I could never. 4 minute mile is 1 minute laps around a high school track.
Yes.
Like yeah, 1 minute to get around that thing. Yeah, that's nuts, dude. That's nuts.
I don't know if I could do that crossing through the field.
Just a straight shot.
Yeah, like run half of it, cross through the field. I don't know if I'm making it in a minute. So let's move on to the Billboard charts. And I have Billboard, let's start with the Billboard 200, week of September 13th, 1997.
Sounds good.
At number 5, we have Spice by the Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. My sister had that CD, and I heard it through the wall.
The amount of music that you've heard either through walls or in supermarket speakers is more music than some people have heard in their entire lives.
Right. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of supermarket music that gets into my universe.
At number four, we have Songbook, A Collection of Hits, Trisha Yearwood.
Oh, my. Okay.
I don't even know who that is. I think I've heard the
name. She's a country singer. Yeah, she's okay. A country performer. She's a pretty big name, at least back then. I think my mom really liked Trisha Yearwood.
I think that lines up with her Reba love and the yep. weird Mariah Carey love that everybody had. Yeah. At number three, we have The Dance, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, okay.
97, Fleetwood
That's Mac. That's much later than any Fleetwood Mac I personally enjoy.
It's not Rumors.
It's not Rumors, and it's not self-titled. I don't know The Dance at all. I think the only other record of theirs I might know is Tusk, and that's
okay.
That's very little I know about that one.
Well, I think you might know about number two here. Be Here Now, Oasis.
Oh, yeah. I do know that. I do like that one.
Yuck.
Yuck. I think that's one of the three Oasis records that I ever paid attention to.
Ooh, three too many.
No. Mm. No, you get...
I don't
you
even
gotta like love What's the Story, Morning Glory. You don't even like the hits. You don't like Champagne Supernova or...
Dislike.
Really?
Dislike.
That's sad.
Yuck.
Wow, okay.
Wonderwall?
Yeah, Wonderwall's a big one.
Overplayed. Both.
I mean...
In my world. I don't even know about the world. In my world, both supremely overplayed. And I can't...
Oh, I'll agree. Like, it's... They were overplayed, like... They are the overplayed tracks of music.
I like the joke, here's Wonderwall, more than I like Wonderwall.
Oh, man.
Like the joke where like somebody, they'll like post a super long thing and they're like, anyway, here's Wonderwall. Like, I just think it's funny. I think it's a funny joke. And then at number one, Billboard 200, week of September 13th, 1997. No Way Out, Puff Daddy and the Family.
Oh, okay.
Puff Daddy.
We brought
Puffy.
We had that brought up. A little bit ago.
Number one record, Scott. Puffy.
Yeah, I know.
Just in his office screaming.
When did we cover that? Because we talked about how it was making money off of Biggie being dead.
Whatever the last 97 record was we covered, I imagine. Would it be No Use for a Name?
It might have been. Yeah. Either that or Pennywise.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah.
So then the longest here, Scott. I got the top five longest, actually, because I thought they were interesting.
Ooh, I like it. Yep.
I got two at 81 weeks, and they couldn't be more different of what they are.
Love it.
81 weeks and still number eight on the
charts. Whoa. Wow, that's impressive.
Pieces of You.
By Jewel. Yeah. That was...
Did you hear that through a wall?
I think I did. It was either that or I listened to it after Emily and I got together and she had it. Okay. But yeah, I've listened to it. Jewel is, she's very, very talented. I'll say that. I think.
It feels like a weird, like skirting around a lake sense.
Well, no, I feel like her getting popular was a very odd consequence of something. I can't tell you what. Just okay. Because she didn't seem to fit ever.
Okay.
And her, I'm pretty sure she like grew up in Alaska, had like a completely different mentality, like a different outlook on the world. And okay. Her getting thrown into the music business and then suddenly becoming a friggin' huge hit maker just seemed weird to me. But that record's really good.
Speaking of good records, although you can't confirm this yet, also at 81 weeks and at number 125, All Eyes on Me, Tupac.
Okay. Yeah. I know it was big. I know he was a huge force in the rap world. His name was thrown all over the place all the time. And that's exactly why I never listened to him.
And the length of that is the only thing that may keep that from being the one that I give you.
Oh, I think super we long. May just,
yeah, it's four, it's three LP, I think.
Oh my God.
I think it's an hour and a half.
Hmm.
Like easy an hour and a half. It's one of those where, you know, some, once CDs started happening, a lot of hip hop artists were like, fuck it.
Fill it up.
Let's do it. Like, oh man, when French Montana released his last record, he put out 5 different versions of it.
Oh man.
Because then if you download one of them, I guess somehow it counts for your sales, or like you can sell, you sell, and I don't know, but he put out standard version, acapella version, slowed down version, sped up version, and then something else, but
like instrumental.
I believe that also. Yeah. But if you look at the track list, he slowed down and sped up the skits, Scott. Just to sell like 10K.
Great. Good job. That's fantastic.
I mean, there are crazy features all over it. Like, he knows how to get people on his records, but at a certain point, it's not your record anymore, French. Like,
right? Yeah. It's a Puff Daddy and the Family record.
French Montana and the Family.
Yeah.
The third longest on the charts here at 87 weeks, sitting at number 81, Tragic Kingdom, No Doubt.
No Doubt. Okay. Yep. Listen to it. The only good songs on that are the singles. Everything else is just kind of an album cut.
At 94 weeks, sitting at number 175, New Beginning by Tracy Chapman.
Hey, there she is.
Would that be Fast Car?
I don't think so.
Or is that too late for Fast Car?
I think that's too late for Fast Car. Fast Car was, I want to say it was on a self-titled.
Oh yeah, I guess New Beginning would sound like we're starting over. Calling your first record, well, I'm not even saying it would be your first, but
yeah, Fast Car came out in 88 on the self-titled record. Yeah.
10 years, about 9 years before this.
Yeah.
I didn't know Tracy Chapman still sold like that, if I'm being honest.
I didn't either.
I thought Fast Car was kind of it.
That was kind of it.
That's my ignorance, I guess. I got to listen to some Tracy Chapman.
I'm for it. I'll listen to more of her records.
The longest on the chart here, Scott, at 118 weeks, sitting at number 141.
Mm.
It is a soundtrack. Do you have a guess of the movie? Just a wild stab in the dark, maybe.
Initially, I was going to go Phantom of the Opera, but
no,
you said it's movie, a movie, so it's not it. Yeah, I have no idea then.
Romeo plus Juliet.
Oh my God.
118 weeks.
Wow. What a weird, weird movie that was.
People must have loved the music more than the movie.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes doing Shakespeare with pistols and cars is wild.
Yeah, but see, the way you just described it is way cooler than the movie.
right. Yeah, no, that's 100% correct. If you're describing what that movie is, it sounds way cooler than actually sitting down and watching that film.
I think we may have watched it in like a 9th grade English class, and the teacher's probably like, this'll get these kids interested. No, it won't.
Actually, it's funny. Lucas is watching it right now in his class.
Oh, man.
And he said something about it being just weird. I was like, yeah, that's about right. It's weird.
I'd rather watch any other version, I think.
I think they're watching an older version as well, like a proper version, and watching that. Yeah.
At least give them some of it. Jesus. Come on.
Yeah. Man. But then we went through a whole family discussion about how weird it is for 13-year-olds to fall in love, get married, and then commit suicide within 3 days.
Yeah, but people also only live to be 40 then. So
that was what I said. I was like, when you have a lifespan of 30, 13 is mid-aged.
Yeah, you got to get in there and take care of what needs taken care of.
You got to make use of every day, so falling in love in a day can happen.
So let's move on to the Hot 100, Scott. Billboard Hot 100. Let's do it. Week of September 13th, 1997.
Bunch of R&B and hip hop.
At number 5, To Become One, Spice Girls.
Oh, yep. Forgot about the Spice Girls.
I don't even know that song. I'm a Spice Girls fan. I don't even know that song.
I don't know. I can only imagine it came off of Spice.
At number 4, How Do I Live, Leanne Rimes.
Oh, wow. This chart is not going the way I thought it was going to.
I remember them pushing Leanne Rimes so hard.
Yes, down everybody's throat.
Yes. Yeah. I think she popped up on like the interstitials in between TV shows on the Disney Channel. Like, what were we doing?
They were just trying to make her. They were trying to make her the next Jewel.
I think they were trying to make her the next Garth Brooks.
Oh yeah, that could be it too. Yeah.
At number three, quit playing games. Parenthetically,
quit playing with my heart. Games with my heart.
Backstreet Boys.
Love this is that song. This is big. Your turn. This is your turn right here.
At number two, Mo Money Mo Problems. Notorious B.I.G. featuring Puff Daddy and Mace.
Love it.
I have the maxi single. Track. I have like the big 12-inch that has like five different versions of it on it.
Oh, really? Nice. Big fan of Biggie.
Number one, Billboard Hot 100. Week of September 13th, 97. Honey, Mariah Carey.
Oh, okay.
Because she
I didn't know she had a single like that. Yeah, I just didn't know the... I mean, I would have guessed that there was a single she had out that was selling big, but I didn't know Honey.
I have no idea what it is. I bet you if we played it, we both would be like, oh, yeah, I know that song. I guarantee
it. Yeah, probably. I just don't.
Name another artist who dominated the charts the way that she did that kind of nobody cares about anymore.
Yeah, no idea.
Like, it's weird. It'd be like if tomorrow Drake never sold another number one record.
Could he not? That'd be fantastic. I don't want to hear his name anymore.
He already has all of the records, so he could. It doesn't matter. Although T-Swift is giving him a run, so we'll see.
I would say she's killing the game.
And then I got two longest on the Hot 100, both equal amount of time. That's the only reason I got them. Both at 42 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Let's do this one first. At number 29, we have Duncan Sheik with Barely Breathing.
I know the name.
I don't even know if I do.
I only because it's an odd name.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it. I remember hearing it on the radio. I couldn't pull that track for the life of me.
Well, maybe you could pull this one again, also at 42 weeks, sitting at number 12 still, Foolish Games / You Were Meant for Me by Joel.
Oh, yeah. You were meant for me. Yeah, she was really, really good. The problem, she just seemed so wholesome. Maybe that's why she didn't fit for me. Like,
is she in the room with you that has a gun to your head or something? Because you are doing some weird Joel like damage control for some reason, and I don't know what's going on.
Why? It just seems like like she doesn't fit in like popular music. Because she just seems like, she seems too nice. Like, she's Mandy Moore. You know what I mean? Like,
Mandy Moore was great, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in that world in which she was thrown in, Mandy Moore with the Britney Spears and the Christina Aguileras, Mandy Moore was incredibly wholesome girl next door kind of, like, person. And her voice was amazing. She was really, really good. And she got thrown into the deep end of that pool. And I feel like Jewel was kind of the same thing. Like, she got thrown in with like the Alanis Morissettes and Fiona Apples and just wasn't as controversial and was just too polite and just had some friggin' bangers. Like, her and that acoustic guitar. She just didn't belong.
And where does Vitamin C fit in?
Nowhere. She had that graduation song, didn't she?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was like every single school's graduation song for like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it became, everybody was like, no, this is too corny. And I bet you it would come back now
I bet it swings back around and like Class but of 2025 is going to have that as their song.
But that would mean that they would have to be aware of it. And I don't think that's a possibility unless it catches on.
It could be
something.
Well, no, like their parents, those kids' parents, they probably had it as their graduation song. So,
all you need is one parent telling one kid, listen to this, and one kid going, I love it.
Oh my God, graduation. I'm about to graduate. Oh, yeah.
Weird how an 18-year-old sounds like a 13-year-old, but sure, Scott, we'll go with that.
Hey.
Let's get into this now, Scott. Warpath.
Okay.
12 tracks, 41 minutes, 25 seconds. let's start out with the opener. Obviously, War Is Coming.
Classic siren start to a record. Love it. Killer riff to kick off the track. The changeup of the rhyme scheme in the first verse kind of threw me off. This doesn't seem so much about a war coming, more like a psychopathic murderer, but super happy track.
There is, and we'll get to this in my wrap up especially, there is a lot of hate for 6 Feet Under.
Is there?
And a lot of it is, well, because Chris Barnes is an asshole, but also because his voice has deteriorated so much.
Oh, really?
He just sounds like a barking dog, essentially, now when he, like, you can't even understand it. And he just makes sounds. Weirdly enough, I think I've come full circle on that. And I think it's even scarier because it sounds
less
human.
You like it more than what we're listening to for this?
I love this.
Okay.
I can admit it's not great. Like, I can 100% objectively say it's not great, but I cannot separate myself from this record or the records I love by 6 Feet Under and say they're not. I enjoy them so much and I love them, but I can acknowledge it may be an acquired ear for these vocals.
Not necessarily this one.
This one's pretty standard.
It's pretty, like, he enunciates. You can understand what he's saying. You don't necessarily need the lyrics in front of you. It helps, of course, just to get kind of the feel for the way his mouth makes words. But you don't necessarily need it.
I've seen somewhere this album referred to as Death and Roll. And that kind of fits.
Death and Roll, okay. Yeah, it does. I get it. It's very much a rock and roll feel, but a scotch harder. And his vocals just a little bit more raspy.
Yeah, I mean, if his vocals are clean, this is a different record.
Yeah, well, parts of his vocals are kind of clean in this record.
Yeah, clean is arguable, but
cleaner. He got a rinse off.
Yeah,
he didn't use soap or anything, but he stuck him under the faucet.
Some of the other things against 6 Feet Under, and I'm just getting this away up top so then you can feel free to say whatever you want the whole time, is that people refer to them as like the AC/DC of death metal. They're just completely uninspired and just kind of just going through the motions. And I guess I could see it. I think I've listened to most of their discography, even the new stuff. And
oh, have you? Okay.
There was one song that became a meme because of how bad one of the vocals is. And I listened to it before it became the meme. And I was like, well, I mean, it's weird, but Chris Barnes has always had to, like, you can hear it gradually getting worse. So like whenever that happened, I was just like, oh, whatever, he's doing what he can do.
Gotcha. I mean, years of just torturing your voice.
It's bong rips, maybe years of bong rips too.
Well, we'll get to that in a different song, but I'm sure there's tons of just regular cigarette smoking. There's tons of drinking. I'm sure at the start of his career, he didn't know the proper way to do a guttural growl.
I don't know if anybody
he's just tearing. That's what I'm saying. He's just tearing up his voice by doing it this way.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. And he has dreadlocks, so there may be something coming off of that, too.
See? There it is. That's it. White guy with dreadlocks. I mean, it's the curse.
Let's move on to track two, Non-Existence.
Man, these lyrics just sound so brutal. I do love the vocal change at the end of the first verse. The all-out scream of "I'm not alive now" sounded great. What a freaking ripper of a guitar solo there. The vocal changes in the chorus are a cool little switch up. I know the track is under 4 minutes, but all of the repetitiveness makes it feel so much longer.
Okay.
Throughout the course of this record, I think there's probably only 30 unique lines of text.
Okay.
everything else is just repeated 37 times.
Yeah, and I think I like it. I think you give me what I want and I got it.
Right. I will say it grew on me a bit throughout the week, but in the beginning, and I like to write my notes pretty close to the first time I listened to it just to get initial reactions to it out. Man, the repetitiveness button was just getting pressed like no other on this one.
On this revisit, though, I will say we talked about this in a couple of the albums you brought me where I don't really appreciate guitar stuff. Yeah, I really appreciate the guitar stuff on this record. And
I think because it's so short.
But also, again, like I said, on those records where they had it, I said, if you give me a backbone of something heavy that I can bounce back and forth to. And that's what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
like, that
definitely
backbone's
that.
Always there. Like you can always just resort back to that. But I found myself enjoying a lot of the guitar work on here a lot more than I thought I did.
Put that I way. Found myself wishing there was more guitar work.
Okay.
Done. Like more individual guitar work done on it.
You may be an Obituary guy.
Oh, sweet. Oh yeah. You said the guitarist is from Obituary, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in my cleanup, but I guess because we're talking about him now. After he leaves this record, that's also... I saw because somebody genuinely asked on Reddit or something. They're like, why do people hate 6 Feet Under? And everybody was just giving joke answers like Chris Barnes sucks, all this stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then one guy said, well, when Alan West left, they kind of lost a lot of that groovier riffs that they had. And it kind of just became even more generic and basic death metal.
Gotcha.
So Alan West was kind of that grooviness and that movement in the guitarist as the guitarist.
Gotcha.
Than anything else.
And that he does a lot of work, a lot of the heavy lifting on this record, in my opinion. Like a lot of the guitar work is really nice.
Yeah, and the fact that he's the only guitarist. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's like, the only one. Right.
There's only four guys. It's vocals, guitar, bass, and drums.
Yeah. So yeah, he did a lot of the heavy lifting.
So let's move on to track 3, A Journey into Darkness.
Love starting the track off with that mini solo. The drums are going off and it's great. I actually can get behind the message on this track. This is a fucking solid track, super short and sweet. This one is a beast.
That's how I feel about most of these tracks, I think. Beasts. When I hear them, they feel and I guess you see them as a little empty because they're repetition and it's the guitar isn't as full as it needs to be, but to me they feel full. Like even if it's just meat in there and it's nothing, there's no substance, it's just meat, I'll take it.
Yeah. Right. And that works for some people.
This album worked for me, I tell you that. This is one that I owned on CD. This and the other one are the two that I owned on CD. So that's why
I care. This and the 2003?
Yeah. Let's move on to track 4, Animal Instinct.
Oh man. Sometimes we have a hard time appreciating songs that follow up masterpieces on a record. This song more than doubles the length of A Journey into Darkness and keeps me less than half as interested. This one didn't do it for me at all.
Okay. Some of the noises that he makes in here, like his high pitch, like, things.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he's devolved into as a lot of vocals now.
Oh, man, that's a bummer.
Before we leave, I'm going to send you the video, the one that became a meme, or at least just the chunk of that vocal, and you're going to be like, oh, man, no.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't working for me in this song.
Yeah,
like I said, when we have songs that we really, really love on a record, we're always like, man, this next song is not going to work out well for us. Yes. Like, it's just not going to feel good. And like, I went into it knowing that and I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm allowed to not like this one because it's just not working for me. Like, this one's not even a battle. Record. Yeah, it's super long.
Well, let's move on to track 5 and I'll give you this information up top. So your notes might not contradict this. It is a cover.
Oh, okay.
It's a cover of the same song, Death or Glory, by the band Holocaust, and they put it out in their 1981 record, The Nightcomers.
Oh, okay. 1981. Holocaust. This song's from 81.
Yeah, it didn't sound like this. I listened to their version, but Holocaust were big in the new wave of British heavy metal scene. Like, they were at the peak of it, they were coming out of that.
Oh, okay. I'm having to take myself out of this one in order to enjoy it. The shorter tracks are way more enjoyable to me. Sometimes I just want the appetizer platter for dinner, you know? Just give me a great little sampler and I'll be on my way.
I didn't know if you were saying enjoyable or endurable, and I was concerned with which way we were going.
It was enjoyable.
Okay. I, until doing this research, didn't know this was a cover.
Yeah.
I love this song. It's one of my favorite.
It's top three.
It's one of my favorite 6 Feet Under songs. 100%
ever. I love this song. Out of any record,
any record, all time.
And it's a cover. Love it.
Once I learned it was a cover, I was like, oh, no, that makes sense. Because those lyrics aren't 6 feet under. Like, those are not right. 6 feet under lyrics.
Right.
I've been so bored going nowhere, pissed off with life. What a weird. What? How do you go from Animal Instinct, which you didn't like, but the lyrics way harder and heavier than that, to pissed off with life?
Right. Yep. Just pissed off with life.
Don't want no girl to hold me. That's a sick song. That's a sick lyric, though. I only love my knife. That's sick.
Yeah, that's that was awesome. Where I had to take myself out. I was like, really? Really? That's what we're doing here?
Moving on to track 6, Burning Blood.
Oh, man. I am feeling this slowed down tempo on this one. The lyrical content is throwing me off, though. I think if I don't pay attention to the content, I enjoy this much more. The guitar solo has a very Dimebag Darrell tone to it. Very Cowboys from Hell era feeling. The sing/chanting going on at the end feels like an odd move. Like, I feel like we got monks at the end of this thing chanting.
I mean, I guarantee you, by the way, and I mentioned that somebody referred to them as AC/DC of death metal. They've done full cover albums of nothing but AC/DC.
6 Feet Under did full AC/DC cover albums.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And his vocals are the same, Scott. They're the exact same vocals. And like their first cover record, it's called Graveyard Classics, and it's a bunch of different covers. Like, there's a couple AC/DC, but it's a bunch of different. Graveyard Classics 2 and Graveyard Classics 3, I believe, both nothing but AC/DC.
Just full AC/DC.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I don't hate them.
Okay.
But it's almost like just the novelty of it. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I want to hear Chris Barnes sing TNT. Like, absolutely. Let's do it.
Right.
So moving on to track 7, Manipulation.
These dudes really get into being repetitive, but it's under 3 minutes long, so it has that going for it. It's also not off-putting lyrically, so as far as I'm concerned, it's a win. This one is the potato skins on my appetizer platter.
All right, yeah. You're building your appetizer. I get it.
Fully loaded potato skins.
Moving on to track 8, 420, and a little bit of backstory here, Scott.
Okay.
420 is 4 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Yes.
It was recorded at 4:20 p.m.
Okay.
On April 20th. 1997.
Wow. Really, really going for it there, Chris Barnes.
It's a concept track, I guess.
I wonder what the concept is.
Yeah, I mean, figure it out.
Yeah, from the title, I feel like I know what I'm going to get here. Yep, kind of a super joint ritual-ish track. The attempt at real singing is kind of funny. It's like a love song to weed. The solo is a ripper, though. And then there's, and then at the end, there's a rip. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite sounds in the history of the planet. I love, like, water bubbling, that sound. I love it. So, like, a bong sound is, it pleases me. I don't know why I love it so much.
It's all over so many different records.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many bong rips I've heard. And not one ever in person. I've heard a million of them.
I've heard a lot in person, and I've heard a lot in music as well.
Yeah.
Let's move on to track 9, Revenge of the Zombie.
A song from the point of view of the zombie that's actually really interesting. Headphone games with the vocals, fantastic. This is like the bacon-wrapped shrimp on my platter. Surprising and amazing.
Okay. Moving on to track 10, As I Die.
This track feels like a cry for help. I know the band went on to record at least 3 more records that you mentioned last week when you gave me this one. But if I didn't know that, I'd really want to do a wellness check on Mr. Barnes.
I'm not going to say he probably still doesn't need it, you know? He might still need it, but maybe a different kind of wellness.
Right.
Moving on to track 11, Night Visions.
Repetition on top of repetition on top of repetition on top of repetition. I think the 3 minute time might be the cutoff for me on 6 feet under tracks.
Yeah, this one actually is it's blaringly apparent. Like, it's just riff night visions, riff night visions, riff night visions for 3 minutes.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, when I was listening to 6 Feet Under and this album in particular, I was heavy in my musical ADD. So
right.
420 might have been the closer of this record for me, if I'm being honest.
Oh, but then you lose Revenge of the Zombie.
I mean, I definitely heard it, but there's no way I would have made it that far.
No. Right. You get that bomb and riff and you're done.
Even then, I was probably listening to first verse, chorus, maybe second verse, next song.
You didn't even get to the rip. You're like, eh.
No, I may have heard the rip for the first time when I revisited this couple years ago. Moving on to the closer, Caged and Disgraced.
Even though this track goes over three and a half minutes, it works for me. It's like the endless chips and salsa that I brought the coupon for. Very solid closer.
All right. I kind of put all my wrap up within the review there. I may have one other thing, and it's in 2005. Warpath was ranked number 334 in Rock Hard magazine's list of the 500 greatest rock and metal albums of all time.
Wow.
Rock Hard magazine, Scott.
Rock Hard magazine. I feel like that's a list we need to take a look at.
If this is on it, I feel like it has to be an interesting list.
That's what I'm saying. I kind of think we should at least take a look. I mean, 500 records is a lot for us to listen to.
Yeah.
But it would be an interesting, at least, read through.
It's a German music magazine.
Oh, man. There's a lot of Rammstein on there.
It's not even available in English.
Oh, shit.
I mean, we could probably find it, but like it says, Rockhard is a German music magazine published in Dortmund with other language editions in various countries worldwide, including France, Spain, Brazil, Portugal, Italy, and Greece.
Not English.
It sounds to me like Rolling Stone kept them out of America.
They're like, no, nobody like, needs this.
This is not happening, guys. We got this under control.
Right. We will save the English-speaking world from this.
Maybe I will hunt down that list.
I'd be curious.
Scott, what's your top three or what's on your platter? I don't know what you want to say here.
Yeah, I have my sampler platter. coming in as the Bacon Ramp Shrimp, the number one. We got Revenge of the Zombie. Big fan of that. Okay. Number two, Journey into Darkness. Number three, Manipulation. And then my endless breadbasket, we got Caged in Disgrace as number four.
Okay, solid. My top three, you're not going to like this at all.
Yeah.
Number one, Death or Glory.
Okay.
Number two, 420.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, you could really throw kind of any of the top four in there. I like Animal Instinct. Let's just go with War is Coming because it's the opener.
Okay.
So, that's how mine works. Like this record a lot. It seems you got more out of it than I was anticipating, so that's a good, but still gonna ask a question here.
Yep.
Scott, 6 Feet Under, Warpath, Throne, Own, Phone, or Grown?
I'm gonna give this one a phone.
Okay.
I would listen to my top four over again, but as a whole, I can't see myself listening to it all the way through, and I'm a full album guy. Mm. And I can't see me ever being like, you know what? I really need some repetitive in my life. Let's go throw 6 Feet Under on the turntable and see what we get.
Man, I love it. I love the repetitiveness. I don't know. Like, I think it's because I know what I'm getting. Like, I put it on. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm gonna get that, and it's gonna be that, and then when it's done, it'll be over. Like, I don't need to worry about what else is gonna come at me. I'm
right. Right. I get it. But Revenge of the Zombie is a great track. I love that song.
Well, you've listened to... Have you only listened to one Cannibal Corpse record, or have you listened to another one since?
I think I only listened to Kill. I think that... Okay. I don't think I moved on because I felt like there was another one you were going to give me at some point. I don't think I asked about it, but...
But where you're at, 1v1... You're at 6 Feet Under versus Cannibal Corpse. It sounds like you're on the Cannibal Corpse side.
I think so. I think I liked Kill. I think I said I'd own Kill.
There's just also a lot more going on Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Like musically. Yeah, absolutely.
Musically, yes. Musically. Yeah.
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 But also Kill came out 10 years after this.
So, oh, okay. that could have something to do with it too.
So who knows, Scott? Maybe at some point I bring you the other 6 Feet Under record and we have that fun, because you'll know at least what you're getting and maybe you'll feel different about it.
Maybe
you won't have Alan West as your guitarist though, so that might hinder
that
it.
That might be bad.
But yeah, I'll take a phone. Absolutely. I was expecting a groan because, again, I can acknowledge from looking out in on this thing that the vocals are a bit of an acquired ear. Like, it's Chris Barnes's vocals are what people are. It's the noise people make when they're making fun of screaming music.
Sure, sure.
Like, I don't listen to that screaming shit. That rah, 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 and it's exactly what he does.
And that's what he does. Yeah.
So it's like, I can't argue that, but I love it. And I own this, and I'm stoked I own this. As you saw, I think the day after I gave this to you, it came up on like my memories that I was spinning this 2 years ago or something like
that. 2 years ago, yeah, it was pretty funny.
It's weird, but
yeah,
I'll take an own. Other than this, Scott, it wasn't the only thing you were listening to. What's your record of the week?
My record of the week is the new Being as an Ocean record, Death Can Wait. I've known about these guys for years, and they have a lot of spoken word passages, so I don't want to say that. I don't want to throw a lot of dispute in there, but they have kind of a lot of dispute feel to them. But this record shows a distinct lack of spoken word passages. And they do some really interesting musical stuff, and I've really, really enjoyed it. I've listened to it a lot since it came out, and it just keeps growing on me, and I'm going to have to find a physical copy because I really, really like it. And
good
show. I mean, for now, we're super early in the year, but it's definitely a contender for my list at the end of the year.
Okay. One of your 10 lists?
One of them. We'll figure it out. Maybe it's its own list. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. And on my Being as an Ocean new release list, number one.
100%.
My record of the week was a 20-year record that I also had it saved to give to you back and forth. I figured one of us would do it at some point. And the length of it, just every time I looked at it, I was just like, I don't feel like listening to that today. It just felt a little too long. But you decided to give it to me on a Friday when I had new releases to listen to. But, you know, we figured it out. Newfound Power by Damage Plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. You talked about how disjointed it felt.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes it better because it's giving me many different sounds of the times. It's not just them doing the same thing over and over again. I'm getting a new metal song. Then I'm getting almost a hard alt country song. And then I'm getting, just so much different shit going on, and they're all great musicians. So it sounds great.
Yeah.
Big fan. I'm getting a physical copy of this. I big fan of this record.
It's good, but yeah, if you're going into it thinking you're going to get one band,
now there's definitely
that's not what you're getting. You're getting like five different bands.
There's at least four very different sounds on this band.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes me wonder what a second record would have sounded like.
I would be curious, but
like, what would it have sounded like? Hell yeah! Or did Dimebag? Do you think Dimebag would have had no interest in that?
I kind of feel like Dimebag would have been like, let's do something more fun. Let's do something a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think I've seen Hell Yeah about three times.
That sounds like too many, but I've never seen them. So,
yeah, I liked their first couple records a lot.
I like the first two. I like the first two.
Yeah, I think it's two.
Stampede is the second.
I think so.
Yeah. First one self-titled and then the second one Stampede, I think. I like both of those.
Yeah. And then after that, I kind of fell off. But feel like Dimebag would have been trying to do more Damage Plan stuff, making every song sound different.
Just because he wants to play the guitar differently on every song.
He just wanted to make all the sounds a guitar can make.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So all that's left, Scott, if you tell me what we're listening to next week, what do we got?
Yeah, next week is the first week of April. I've always saw April as the funny month of the year because you got April 1st.
You give me a comedy record.
I'm giving you something kind of funny. We're going to go with the Vandals. We're going to go with Hitler bad, Vandals good.
And this is another situation where I only listened to, like, wasn't it a compilation of their early stuff?
Yeah, you listened to their early stuff. Yeah.
So much like how I experienced the Queers, I experienced the Vandals.
Yeah.
All right. Look forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put any pressure. It's going to be funny, because funny and music don't always work for me. No effects. First couple albums show that.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have some other funny stuff that you got into later on in their discography.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It's just sometimes if funny is the aim versus the music is the aim with funny, it becomes a little grating.
But I get that. And we might test that out with this one. We'll see where your opinion lies.
I'm assuming it's not super long, though. So that's, I don't think it's fine.
I don't think it's super long. I'm guessing just under half hour, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's almost perfect for me. Like, even when listening to this 6 Feet Under record, 41 minutes, I was like, half hour, we'd be solid, guys.
Cut about 5 minutes, we'd be good.
Cut about 10. We'll be all right. All right. So, follow us on Twitter at AOLpod. Follow us on Instagram at AOLpod. Send us an email at areyoulisteningoutpod@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Listeners, thank you for listening.
Always.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Scott, thank you for the episode. Thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
And Vandals, Hitler bad, Vandals good next week.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Are you listening? He's the Post Malone of death metal.
Is she in the room with you that has a gun to your head or something? Because,
oh my God, graduation. I'm about to graduate.
It may be an acquired ear for these vocals. Riff, night visions. Riff, night visions. Riff, night visions.
Quit playing games with my heart. I can't tell you how many bong rips I've heard.